أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have one topic left from the topic of the Battle of Tabuk. And this is the what is known as the Hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik. It's an authentic narration from him, narrated by Al-Bukhari and by other books of hadith and books of seerah. This hadith has special significance because it represents a bad moment in the life of an exemplary man, a special man, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's loaded with lessons for us because it is a story of someone who struggled to do good. And then, being a human being, he went through a moment of weakness, but was able to get out of it. Because of his good deeds, because of his tarbiyah, because of his iman. And I want you to contemplate on this hadith deeply and derive the lessons that are relevant to you as a mu'min. We'll go, inshallah, through some of these lessons, but I'm sure that I would miss many. And therefore you need to have tadabbur, contemplation, on these words of the great companion Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. I'm going to read the narration of Bukhari. And this was narrated by the grandson of Ka'b ibn Malik from his father, who was the guide of Ka'b ibn Malik when he grew old and became blind. And the father is narrating his story to the son. Ka'b ibn Malik says, لم أتخلف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة غزاها إلا في غزوة تبوك. Ka'b says, I've never stayed behind any battle of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم with the exception of the battle of Tabuk. غير أني كنت تخلفت في غزوة بدر. But I also missed the battle of Badr. However, ولم يعاتب أحدا تخلف عنها. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not censor anybody who stayed behind. And the reason, he gives the reason why Rasulullah ﷺ did not hold anybody accountable for missing Badr. إِنَّمَا خَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ يُرِيدُ عِرَى قُرَيْشِ Rasulullah ﷺ went out in the Battle of Badr with a different intention. I mean, it wasn't intended as a battle with the mushrikeen of Quraysh, but it was intended as an attack on the tijara, on the caravan that was led by Abu Sufyan. They missed the caravan and then they ended up meeting the army of Quraysh. حتى جمع الله بينهم وبين عدوهم على غير ميعاد. And then they ended up meeting the enemy without an appointment, prior appointment. ولقد شهدت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة العقبة حين تواثقنا على الإسلام وما أحب أن لي بها مشهد بدر وإن كانت بدر أذكر في الناس منها. He says, however, I have attended with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the night of Al-Aqaba. Remember, we have talked about Al-Aqaba towards the end of the series on Mecca. And this is when the Ansar gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the pledge of allegiance and they promised him support. Ka'b says, I attended that. He was one of the Nuqaba. He was one of the 12 leaders of Al-Ansar who represented the Ansar in giving the pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ka'b says that I would not want to have attended Badr instead of Al-Aqaba, even though Badr is more famous. What Ka'b ibn Malik is saying, that they consider the night of Al-Aqaba to be such an important and special event that he would not exchange it with attending Badr. But then he says that Badr is very famous and it has such a high reputation. However, Aqaba, the Laylat al-Aqaba, was also a very important event. And he attended that. He was there. And then he says, كَانَ مِنْ خَبَرِي أَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ قَطْ أَقْوَى وَلَا أَيْسَرٌ حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْهُ فِي تِلْكَ الْغَزَاهِ وَاللَّهِ مَجْتَمَعَتْ عِنْدِي قَبْلَهُ رَاحِلَتَانِ قَطْ حَتَّى جَمَعْتُهُمَا فِي تِلْكَ الْغَزَاهِ. He said, and now he's starting to narrate the story of what happened on Tabuk. He said, I was never before stronger or better off than that time when I missed the Battle of Tabuk. He said, never before did I own two riding camels, but I did own them during the Battle of Tabuk. So Ka'b ibn Malik here is admitting that he has no excuse. He is strong and he has the financial capability, which is represented in having a mount to ride. Not only did he have one, but he had two. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُرِيدُ غَزْوَةً إِلَّا وَرَّى بِغَيْرِهَا حَتَّى كَانَتْ تِلْكَ الْغَزْوَةِ غَزَاهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فِي حَرٍّ شَدِيدٍ وَاسْتَقْبَلَ سَفَرًا بَعِيدًا وَمَفَازًا وَعَدُوًّا كَثِيرًا فَجَلَّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ أَمْرَهُمْ لِيَتَأَهَّبُوا أُهْبَةَ غَزْوِهِمْ فَأَخْبَرَهُمْ بِوَجْهِهِ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would never send out an army to fight a particular enemy, but he would talk about a different destination. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم does this to mislead the enemy. So he would never have his destination exposed. And he would do that in order to surprise the enemy and catch them off guard. That was the habit of Rasulullah ﷺ. However, with the Battle of Tabuk, it was different. Ka'b ibn Malik says, because it was in a time of extreme heat, and it was a long journey, and it was a numerous enemy, therefore, Rasulullah ﷺ made the announcement public to the Muslims that we are going to such and such place, and we are facing the Romans. And he did that so that they would take appropriate measures and preparations for this battle. So this shows you that Tabuk was different and special. وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ كَثِيرٌ وَلَا يَجْمَعُهُمْ كِتَابٌ حَافِظٌ يُرِيدُ الدِّيوَانِ. The Muslims were numerous, and the books of Sirah say that they were 30,000. That is the most authentic narration, that the number of Muslims was 30,000. So you can see that it surpasses any other battle before it. I mean, in Fath Makkah they were 10, and in Hawazin they were 12,000. And now suddenly we have a jump to 30,000, even though it's just a few months after the battle of Hawazin. But Rasulullah ﷺ made a full mobilization for the Battle of Tabuk, and all of the tribes were called to and summoned to attend because, again, of the special circumstances. Ka'b ibn Malik says, but there was no diwan. Diwan is a register, meaning the names, there was no role. The names were not written. And therefore, he says, فَمَا رَجُلٌ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتَغَيَّبْ إِلَّا ظَنَّ أَن سَيَخْفَى. So if a person wants to stay behind, he might assume that he would be undisclosed, مَا لَمْ يَنزِلْ فِيهِ وَحِي مِنْ اللَّهِ, as long as there will be no revelation coming from Allah exposing him. Because of the huge numbers, a person could assume that Rasulullah ﷺ would not miss that person. Because we're talking about 30,000, it's difficult to keep track of who's there and who's not. وَغَزَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تِلْكَ الْغَزْوَةِ حِينَ طَابَتِ الثِّمَارُ وَالظِّلَالِ. Ka'b ibn Malik says, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out in that battle in a time when the fruits were ripe and the shade was alluring. And this is a very important statement of Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik here is being honest in this narration, and he is speaking to us about the true reasons and the hidden reasons that are going within the mind and the heart. He is saying that at that time, it was a time when the shade was very alluring because it was very hot, and the fruit are ripening on the trees. And these are temptations for a person to stay behind. And then he says, وَتَجَهَّزَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَهُ فَطَفِقْتُ أَغْدُو لِكَيْ أَتَجَهَّزَ مَعَهُمْ فَأَرْجِعُ وَلَمْ أَقْضِ شَيْئًا فَأَقُولُ فِي نَفْسِي أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَيْهِ. He said, the Messenger of Allah and the Muslims started making their preparations, and I began hurrying to prepare, but I would retire without accomplishing anything. I mean, he had the intention to prepare, but he would not do anything. Procrastination, a human habit, something that is usual, if you don't commit yourself, if you don't discipline yourself to do something, you're not going to do it. And you're going to delay the work of today to tomorrow. And that is what Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, was doing. And then he tells us something. He said, فَأَقُولُ فِي نَفْسِي أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَيْهِ. I would tell myself that I'm able to do it. Nafs, the self, could drag you down if you don't discipline it. If you leave your affairs to your whims and just let it go with the flow, you're not going to get anything done. And Ka'b ibn Malik was speaking to himself and saying, I can do it. Eventually he didn't do it. So we need to be very careful from the nafs, because the nafs is lazy, the nafs is afraid, the nafs is weak, the nafs loves dunya, and if you don't force it and discipline it and tame it to follow the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal, it will wander with you and take you astray. You have to be very careful. Your nafs could be your worst enemy if you don't pay attention. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَتَمَادَ بِي حَتَّى اشْتَدَّ بِالنَّاسِ الْجَدِّ فَأَصْبَحَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَهُ وَلَمْ أَقْضِ مِنْ جِهَازِي شَيْئًا. He said, and time was passing by, and people were deep in their preparation, and then suddenly, the next morning, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Muslims were ready. That's it. They're set to go. وَلَمْ أَقْضِ مِنْ جِهَازِي شَيْئًا. And I have done nothing to prepare myself. He is at the initial stage, he has done nothing, and the Muslims are ready to leave this morning. فَقُلْتْ أَتَجَهَزُ بَعْدَهُ بِيَوْمٍ أَوْ يَوْمَيْنِ ثُمَّ أَلْحَقُهُمْ. I said, I'm gonna prepare, get ready, within a day or two, and then I'm gonna catch up with them. فَغَدَوْتُ بَعْدَ أَنْ فَصَلُوا لِأَتَجَهَزَ فَرَجَعْتُ وَلَمْ أَقْضِ شَيْئًا. They left, and I decided to get myself ready, and I didn't. ثُمَّ غَدَوْتُ ثُمَّ رَجَعْتُ. And the next day, the same thing, I would come back, and I would do nothing. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِي حَتَّى أَسْرَعُ وَتَفَارَطَ الْغَزُوُ. And that was the case until the army has left and it was over. And here, brothers and sisters, if you think that you could hasten a thing, so you procrastinate and then you think that you can combine it and hasten it, many times what happens is you end up doing nothing because the issue piles up and piles up until it becomes too much to manage, and it ends up causing you, when you look at the amount of work that you have to do, you just end up giving up. So it's a trick from yourself to tell you to procrastinate, and then it's another trick from yourself when yourself tells you that it's too late, and you end up giving up. Also, brothers and sisters, this is another indication, because here Ka'b ibn Malik is talking about in the context of going out fi sabilillah. Going out fi sabilillah is a caravan, and this caravan is moving, and it's going on continuously, because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that this will continue until the Day of Judgment. There will be an enemy that is fought at any point of time, according to the ahadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the ahadith of the Ta'if al-Mansura. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says they are fighting until the end of time, until Dajjal comes out, and there will be fighting fi sabilillah. There was fighting in sabilillah yesterday, there is fighting fi sabilillah today, and there will be fighting fi sabilillah tomorrow. And the caravan is moving, and the more you delay joining it, the further it will be, and the more difficult it will be for you to catch up. And this is exactly what happened with Ka'b ibn Malik. If Ka'b ibn Malik was not able, and he failed to catch up, who do you think you are to be able to catch up if you wait for too long? And then he says, وَهَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَرْتَحِلَ فَأُدْرِكَهُمْ وَلَيْتَنِي فَعَلْتُ. He said, and I was still thinking about setting out and catching up with them, and I wish that I did. Ka'b ibn Malik wishes that he did, and one day you will wish that you did. If not in dunya, then in akhirah. When you see the great rewards that are given to these special people, whom Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed His favor upon and guided them to the straight path and showed them the best of deeds, the peak and pinnacle of Islam, you will desire that you did. Ka'b ibn Malik is saying, Laytani, I wish that I did. فَلَمْ يُقَدَّرْ ذِي ذَلِكَ. It was not destined for me to do so. فَكُنْتُ إِذَا خَرَجْتُ فِي النَّاسِ. بعد خروج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فطفت فيهم أحزنني أني لا أرى إلا رجلا مغموصا عليه النفاق أو رجلا ممن عذر الله من الضعفاء. When the army left and he was left behind in Medina, he would go out, walk around, go to the marketplaces. He said, whenever I went out and mixed with people after the departure of the Messenger of Allah, it grieved me that the only men I saw were persons suspected of hypocrisy or those excused by the Messenger of Allah because they were in poor health. So these are the ones who stay behind, the munafiqeen and the ones who are excused. These are the ones who stay behind. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى بَلَغَ تَبُوكُ. The Messenger of Allah made no mention of me until after he reached Tabuk. Rasulullah remembered him when he was at Tabuk. فَقَالَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ فِي الْقَوْمِ بِتَبُوكُ مَا فَعَلَ كَعْبُ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said when he was in a gathering, what did Ka'b do? فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي سَلَمَةٍ. A man from Bani Salama said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَاهُ وَنَظَرَهُ فِي عَطْفِهِ. This man from Banu Salama, the same clan of Ka'b from Al-Khazraj, he said, O Messenger of Allah, he was detained by his two cloaks and looking at the beauty of his clothes. Now, brothers and sisters, and this is such a degrading statement that was made. I mean, here you're talking about men. They are true men. And they know what is shameful. And such a statement is such a degrading statement against Ka'b ibn Malik. And to say that he was held behind because of his clothes and staring at them. I mean, he's like saying that he is a woman who just is enjoying her clothes and looking at how beautiful these clothes are. It's not a manly thing to be concerned with how cute the clothes are and how handsome a person, a man, looks in a mirror when people are fighting, when people are in the battlefield. So it is a very shameful thing. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who is also from Al-Ansar and from the people of Ka'b ibn Malik, he responded to that statement and said, فَقَالَ مُعَاذَ بِنْ جَبَلْ بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتْ. What a bad thing you have said. وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. O Messenger of Allah, we know nothing about him but good. فَسَكَتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was quiet. Now when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is silent, that means that he is approving of what was mentioned. Otherwise, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would answer back. And let's take a look at this for a moment. Who is Ka'b ibn Malik? Ka'b ibn Malik is a man who was with Rasulullah ﷺ from day one. Ka'b ibn Malik is a man who is from among the Ansar, who came to Rasulullah ﷺ and invited him to Medina. And they knew very well the consequences of such an act. They knew that the Arabs are going to fight them. They knew that they will sacrifice themselves and their wealth for Rasulullah ﷺ. And he is one of the 12 men who put their hands in the hand of Rasulullah ﷺ and gave him the pledge of allegiance. Ka'b ibn Malik is a man who was in the trench with Rasulullah ﷺ in every day of battle. He was there in Uhud. He was there in Al-Khandaq. He was there in Fath Makkah. He was there in Khaybar. He was there in Hudaybiyah. He was there in every single important moment in the history of Islam, and he just missed out on that single day. Nevertheless, this man from Banu Salama made that statement against him that he is staring at his clothes. So brothers and sisters, the action of Ka'b ibn Malik made him a target to these words. I mean, he has put himself in a vulnerable position because of his actions. He did something that brought and drew these statements against him. Even though he's such a good and great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but because what he did was wrong, he got himself into that situation. Regardless of whether the statement of this man is right or wrong, he, Ka'b ibn Malik, is the one who put himself in this situation to start with. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal spoke in defense of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi is taking by what is apparent. And what is apparent is that Ka'b ibn Malik did not show up. And then Ka'b ibn Malik says, قال كعب ibn Malik, فلما بلغني أنه توجه قافلا حضرني همي وطفقت أتذكر الكذب وأقول بماذا أخرج من سخطه غدا واستعنت على ذلك بكل ذي رأي من أهلي. And then when I heard the news that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is on his way back, I became very anxious. And then I was thinking about lying and trying to fabricate an excuse to get out of the anger of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when I meet him. And then he said, and I was seeking counsel from all of those from my family whom have an opinion that I trust. فَلَمَّا قِيلَ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ أَضَلَّ قَادِمًا زَاحَ عَلَيَّ الْبَاطِلِ وَعَرَفْتُ أَنِّي لَنْ أَخْرُجَ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا بِشَيْءٍ فِيهِ كَذِبٍ فَأَجْمَعْتُ صِدْقَهُ. And then when I told that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is almost here, all of the falsehood and those thoughts left my mind, and I knew that I'm not going to get out of this trouble at all if I lie, and I decided that I'm going to speak the truth. And here you can see Ka'b ibn Malik, this righteous and great companion, falling into deep trouble and committing a serious mistake. But because of his iman and because of the tarbiyah that his iman gave him, he was able to pull himself out of this hole that he made for himself through his good deeds. The decision that Ka'b ibn Malik made to speak the truth and not to lie, as we will see, is what saved him from this big problem that he got himself into. I mean, you will see how serious staying behind is. وَأَصْبَحَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَادِمًا وَكَانَ إِذَا قَدِمَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ بَدَأَ بِالْمَسْجِدِ فَيَرْكَعُ فِيهِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ جَلَسَ لِلنَّاسِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in the morning. And when he would arrive from traveling, he would first go to the masjid and pray two rak'ah, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down for the people, because the people would come and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he would sit in the masjid and they would come and meet him in the masjid. That was the congregation place for the people, the masjid. فَلَمَّا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ جَاءَهُ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ فَطَفِقُوا يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ. And when he did that, the ones who stayed behind came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving their excuses and swearing, making an oath in the name of Allah that we're speaking the truth. وَكَانُوا بِضْعَةً وَثَمَانِينَ رَجُلًا. And they were above 80 men. فَقَبِلَ مِنْهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نِيَتَهُمْ وَبَايَعَهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمْ وَكَلَ سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم accepted their excuses and took what is apparent, took their words at face value, and he took their pledge of allegiance, their bay'ah, and he asked Allah to forgive them. And he left the insides of their hearts to Allah. And this is a general rule that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم applied, that he would go by what is apparent, al-akhdh bil-dhahir. And this is a very important rule that has a lot of implications. We judge people according to what we see. If we see iman outwardly, we judge that they are believers, even if they are disbelievers in their heart. If what we see from them are acts of disbelief, kufr, then we judge them according to that, even if they are believers in their heart. That is the rule. And then we leave what is inside the hearts to Allah on the Day of Judgment. But the rules that apply in dunya apply to what is apparent and not to what is hidden. And this is both for Islam and kufr. فَجِئْتَهُ فَلَمَّا سَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ تَبَسَّمَ تَبَسُّمَ الْمُغْضَبِ ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَ فَجَلَسْتُ فَجِئْتُ أَمْشِي حَتَّى جَلَسْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَقَالَ لِي مَا خَلَّفَكَ. So I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I gave him salam, and he smiled to me, but it was a smile of one who is angry. And then he said, come here. So I came walking to him, and then I sat in front of him, and he asked me and said, why did you stay behind? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking Ka'b ibn Malik, why did you stay behind? And we will be asked, why did we stay behind? Not by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but by Allah azza wa jalla on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there to ask Ka'b ibn Malik, and that question still holds true today, and it holds true in every time when fighting fi sabilillah is a duty upon the Muslims. Why did you stay behind? What is your answer? Prepare an answer for Allah Azza wa Jal. Prepare an answer for this question. Ka'b ibn Malik has thought about this question deeply, and he's decided that he's going to speak the truth. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ قَدْ ابْتَعْتَ ظَهْرَكْ. Didn't you buy your mount? So this shows us that Ka'b ibn Malik was not completely ignoring his duty. He actually tried to prepare, and he went as far as buying a mount. I mean, it's not like he was completely oblivious to the situation. No, he was thinking about it. And as we have seen, that he was so concerned, and he would make the niyyah every day that he's going to get ready, but he didn't. Rasulullah ﷺ told him, didn't you buy your mounts? He said, bala, yes. And then he said, inni wallah, لو جلست عند غيرك من أهل الدنيا لرأيت أن سأخرج من سخطه بعذر ولقد أعطيت جدلا. He said, in the name of Allah, if I sat with someone else from the people of dunya, I would have assumed that I will be able to get out of his anger with an excuse. وَلَقَدْ أُعْطِيتُ جَدَلًا. He said, and I have the eloquence, and I have the ability to argue. Ka'b ibn Malik was a poet, and he was one of the famous and important poets of Medina who defended Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their poetry. I mean, the most famous poets of Medina were Hassan ibn Thabit, Ka'b ibn Malik, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha. So he was one of the three top poets of Rasulullah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. So he's saying, وَلَقَدْ أُعْطِيتُ جَدَلًا. I have been gifted with the ability to debate and argue. I mean, he's a man who could convince you with his point of view. In other words, he's saying that I could, O Messenger of Allah, give excuses that will sound valid and convincing. But I realize that speaking this to you would eventually be exposed because you are the Messenger of Allah. My lie will not go that far, and I will be exposed. So here saying that I'm going to speak the truth. Now with the statement of Ka'b ibn Malik, when he says, وَلَقَدْ أُعْطِيتُ جَدَلًا, I have been given the ability to argue or convince. Nowadays, many arguments are made for excusing oneself of fulfilling their duties towards Allah and the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the most convincing arguments come from people who have a background in knowledge. The people who are well-versed with the evidences, so they have the ability to pull out some ayat of Quran and to pull out some ahadith and to pull out some statements and then bring them together in a way that may sound convincing as presenting an argument that gives them an excuse. For example, you would have people say that we are in Mecca, and you would have others say that we are in the weak stage, so we need to apply the rules that apply to the weak stage. Now the thing here is, yes, there was a situation once upon a time, 1400 years ago, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, that they applied rules of weakness before they went to Medina. So a person may come today and say that we are in Mecca. So you go to that brother and tell him, well, fine, if you are in Mecca, then why don't you go to Medina? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in Mecca, he struggled to go to Medina. So if you are now in Mecca stage, why don't you struggle to go to the Medina stage? The thing is that he wouldn't want to. Why? Because the pay in Medina is less than the pay in Mecca. The life in Mecca is more comfortable than it is going to be in Medina. And therefore, this person is not willing to make the move. The person would say that we are in the stage of weakness. Well, fine, if you're in the stage of weakness, then prepare yourself to get out of it. But the thing is, you would find that person unwilling to prepare to get out of it because he knows very well that the path to strength is a path that is paved with difficulty and sacrifice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, at one point of time he was in Mecca and the Muslims were in Mecca, but they did all what was humanly capable for them to do in order to get out of that situation. If you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see that it is fascinating how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would knock on every door possible to find a way out of Mecca. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would meet with the tribes in every season of Hajj, asking them to give him support so that he can make hijrah to them. And when you do something once and twice and three times, and every time you get the same answer of rejection, you end up giving up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never gave up, and he would do that year in and year out. And he would do that with first tribe, second tribe, third tribe, fourth tribe, fifth tribe, and never give up. Until eventually he met with the Ansar, and they are the ones who provided him with a base to spread the da'wah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying every avenue possible to get out of Mecca and go to Medina. He tried every avenue possible to get out of the stage of weakness into the stage of strength. So whoever today is saying that we are in Mecca, that person needs to get out of Mecca. And whoever is in a state of weakness needs to struggle to get out of that state of weakness. Otherwise, the ayah of Allah Azza wa Jalla that applies would apply to them, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجَ لَعَدُّ لَهُ عُدَّةٌ. If they want to go out, they would have prepared to do so. But without any preparation, that means that a person is just paying lip service, and it is not true. So Ka'b ibn Malik is saying that I'm not going to use my argumentative abilities and debating abilities here. He said, وَلَئِنْ حَدَّثْتُكَ حَدِيثَ صِدْقٍ تَجِدُ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُو فِيهِ عَفَّ اللَّهِ. He said, and if I speak the truth to you, even though it might make you angry, but I am expecting that in the truth will be the forgiveness of Allah. لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عُذْرٍ. I have no excuse. He made it clear to Rasulullah ﷺ that he has no excuse in staying behind. وَاللَّهِ مَا كُنْتُ قَطْ أَقْوَى وَلَا أَيْسَرَ مِنِّي حَيْنَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْكَ. I was never stronger and more able to go out when I stayed behind. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ فَقُمْ حَتَّى يَقْدِرَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ. Rasulullah ﷺ said, this man has spoken the truth, so leave until Allah judges in your situation. فقمت وثار رجال من بني سلمة فاتبعوني فقالوا لي والله ما علمناك كنت أذنبت ذنبا قبل هذا ولقد عجزت ألا تكون اعتذرت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما اعتذر إليه المتخلفون قد كان كافيا كذنبك استغفار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لك فوالله ما زالوا يؤنبونني حتى أردت أن أرجع فأكذب نفسي. He said, so I left. And some men from my clan followed me, and they told me, we never know that you have committed a sin before this. This is the first time. Why didn't you give an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just like everybody else did? And it would have been sufficient for you, the istighfar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the ones who came before, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah to forgive them. So they told him, if you have came up with an excuse, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask Allah for your forgiveness, and that would be sufficient enough to wipe out your sin. And he said, and they were blaming me until I thought about going back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and making up an excuse. But then I asked them, ثم قلت لهم هل لقي هذا معي أحد. Did anybody else say the same thing and get the same response? قالوا نعم رجلان قال مثل ما قلت. They said, yes, two men. They said, like what you have said, فَقِيلَ لَهُمَا مِثْلَ مَا قِيلَ لَكَ. And they were told a similar answer to what was told to you. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هُمَا. I said, who are they? قَالُوا مُرَارَةَ بِنَ الرَّبِيعِ الْعَمْرِي وَهِلَالُ بْنُ أُمَيَّةَ الْوَاقِفِ. They said, مِرَارَة and Hilal. فَذَكَرُوا لِي رَجُلَيْنِ صَالِحَيْنِ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا فِيهِمَا أُسْوَةٌ. They mentioned to me two righteous men, and I saw them as examples for me, or these were two men, so therefore there is somebody else who did the same thing that I have did, and therefore he decided that he's not going to go back. And this shows you that we find, when we see company, that gives us support. So when he saw that he has company in the action that he did, in telling the truth, that encouraged him to carry on. And this shows us the importance of having good company around you. Because the pressure of the society, see, he was pressured to go back and make up a lie. And he was almost going to do that. So the pressure of the society is very strong. And therefore you need to surround yourself with like-minded people who would support you to do good. Especially for those who are living in rotten environments, in environments that are environments of disbelief and environments of fitna. It's very important that you don't trust your abilities in survival and you realize that you are a weak human being. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man has been created in a weak state. We are weak. And therefore we need to have good company. It's very important to have like-minded people who would support you and advise you. الدين النصيحة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that religion is advice. So you need to have people around you who would encourage you to do good. I would strongly advise anybody who is not in such an environment to change their environment immediately. Because if you are strong today, you might become vulnerable and weak tomorrow, and you never know how deep you would fall. And in a time like this, there's no end to how low a person could get. Some people can keep on descending and descending and descending, getting deeper and deeper and deeper until they become a disbeliever, until they become murtad. So it's a very dangerous thing. Don't underestimate the effect of your environment on you. فَمَضَيْتُ حِينَ ذَكَرُوهُ مَا لِي وَنَهَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَنْ كَلَامِنَا أَيُّهَا الثَّلَاثَةَ مِنْ بَيْنِ مَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهُ. Out of all of the people who stayed behind, remember that they were over 80. The three of us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given orders that we should be boycotted in terms of speaking. This is not an economical boycott against them. It is a boycott of not speaking to them, not interacting with them. So subhanAllah, the ones who spoke the truth end up getting boycotted, while the ones who lied, their excuse was accepted and they're fine. But you will see that this is only a short-term thing and it's short-lived. And this is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes a lie gives you an instant gratification and gives you an instant, a very short-lived solution. But after that, things began to unravel. While truth in the long term is always good. فَاجْتَنَبَنَا النَّاسِ وَتَغَيَّرُوا لَنَا حَتَّى تَنَكَّرَتْ فِي نَفْسِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَمَا هِيَ الَّتِي أَعْرِفْ. He said, people boycotted us, stayed away from us, and their treatment changed. He said, it was so bad, حَتَّى تَنَكَّرَتْ فِي نَفْسِ الْأَرْضِ, until the land has become like unknown to me. It's not, subhanAllah, he's in Medina, he's from Medina, that's his home, he lived there all of his life, that's where he was born. But because the people changed, he even felt that the ground he's standing upon is different. It's like an unknown land to him. You feel homesick in your own home. You feel like a foreigner in your own land. Ka'b ibn Malik is saying that even the land was different to me. Why? Because the people are boycotting them. فَلَبِثْنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ خَمْسِينَ لَيْلَةً. That carried on for 50 days. فَأَمَّا صَاحِبَايَ فَاسْتَكَانَا وَقَعَدَا فِي بُيُوتِهِمَا يَبْكِيَانَ. He said, my two companions, they just gave up and sat at home weeping. وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَكُنْتُ أَشَبَّ الْقَوْمِ وَأَجْلَدَهُمْ فَكُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ فَأَشْهَدُ الصَّلَاةَ مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَطُوفُ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُنِي أَحَدٌ. He said, but me, I was the youngest among them and the toughest, so I would go out and I would pray in jama'ah and I would go in the markets, but nobody would speak to me. So the other two, they just gave up. They couldn't handle walking around with people ignoring them. And they just sat at home and they were crying, devastated. But Ka'b ibn Malik, he was strong. So he would go out and pray jama'ah and go in the market, even though he would be completely ignored. And this also shows us how strong the society, the community was. In order from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to boycott them, that's it. It was final. Nobody would speak. You go to the marketplace, nobody's speaking. You go to the masjid, nobody's speaking. Total obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why Hajr was powerful. The boycotting was powerful. Because the whole society takes the command from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and would do what they're told. وآتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسلم عليه وهو في مجلسه بعد الصلاة فأقول في نفسي هل حرك شفتيه برد السلام أم لا. And I would go to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was in his gathering, and I would give him salam, and I would ask myself, did he move his lips in responding to my salam? So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would not answer him, so he would try to stare at the lips and see if Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is doing it quietly. ثم أصلي قريبا منه فأسارقه النظر، فإذا أقبلت على صلاتي أقبل إلي، وإذا التفت نحوه أعرض عني. And when I would be in salah, I would look at him. And when I would be concentrating on my salah and looking down, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stare at me. And when I would then move my eyes towards him and look at him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn away. So Rasulullah would only look at him when Ka'b ibn Malik was not looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حَتَّى إِذَا طَالَ عَلَيَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ جَفْوَةِ النَّاسِ مَشَيْتُ حَتَّى تَسَوَّرْتُ جِدَارَ حَائِطِ أَبِي قَتَادَةَ وهو ابن عمي وأحب الناس إلي فسلمت عليه فوالله ما رد علي السلام. And when this has extended and became so long, I went and climbed the wall of the house of Abu Qatada, who was my cousin and the most beloved person to me. So I gave him salam and he didn't even respond back. فقلت يا أبا قتادة أنشدتك بالله هل تعلمني أحب الله ورسوله؟ فسكت فعدت له فنشدته فسكت فعدت فنشدته فقال الله ورسوله أعلم. ففاضت عيناي وتوليت حتى تصورت الجدار. I said, oh Abu Qatada, I ask you in the name of Allah, do you know me to be a person who loves Allah and His Messenger? So he was silent. I asked him again, he was silent. I asked him again, he was silent. And then I asked him and he said, Allah and His Messenger know best. So my eyes were swelling with tears and I walked out. And even his cousin wouldn't speak to him. قال فبين أنا أمشي بسوق المدينة إذا نبطي من أنباط أهل الشام ممن قدم بالطعام يبيعه بالمدينة يقول من يدل على كعب بن مالك فطفق الناس يشيرون له حتى إذا جاءني دفع إلي كتابا من ملك غسان. He said, while I was walking around in the marketplace of Medina, Anabati, the people of Nabta are from Jordan in Asham, and he was a merchant who had some food to sell in Medina. He was asking the people to point out to him Ka'b ibn Malik. So they guided him towards me, and then he came to me and handed me a letter from the king of Ghassan. The king of Ghassan is a Christian who hated the Muslims and hated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says in the books of Sirah that he wanted to draw an army and ask Heraclius for support because he was a proxy of Heracles. I mean, these were kings who had big titles and names, but they were traitors and agents for Heracles. So he wanted to ask permission from Heracles to attack Medina. It was actually Heracles who told him to stop and hold tight and not to attack Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Heracles knew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the messenger of Allah and he didn't want to start a confrontation with him. So subhanAllah, Heracles was wiser than the king of Ghassan, who's an Arab and should have some sympathy towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it shows you how the traitors sometimes are worse than their masters. The king of Ghassan sent a letter to Ka'b ibn Malik. So this shows you that there was some information gathering going on, and there was interest with what was happening in Medina. And the king of Ghassan caught word about what happened with Ka'b ibn Malik, and he sent him this letter. فَإِذَا فِيهِ أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّ صَاحِبَكَ قَدْ جَفَكَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِدَارِ هَوَانٍ وَلَا مَضِيعَةٍ فَالْحَقْ بِنَا نُوَاسِكْ. The letter stated that I have heard that your friend has forsaken you, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah has not left you in a place where you would be humiliated and where you will be forsaken. So come to us and we will take care of you. And here, brothers and sisters, you see a characteristic of the kuffar. The kuffar are going to try to draw in and strike deals with the Muslim leaders whom they see as willing or in a situation where they agree with the kuffar on certain issues, it would show you that they would try to break in the Muslim ranks. Here, they're trying to draw out one of the members, prominent members of the Muslim community. They're trying to bring him in, not because they love him, not because they like him, but because they have an agenda. And the king of Ghassan, because of his hatred against Rasulullah ﷺ and the Muslims, that is why he wants to infiltrate the Muslim society and pull out of it Ka'b ibn Malik. This is something that they are doing today. They are willing to fund and pump money and just pour it on any Muslims who are going to be sympathetic to their cause. They are willing to sit behind the scenes with Muslims who are willing to promote a watered-down version of Islam. They are willing to sit and put hand in hand with the Rand Muslims who are willing to spread the version of Islam that is appealing to them. And they are willing to spend millions and millions of dollars for that. And Shaitan can come to some people and say, well, let's take that money and benefit the da'wah with it. Let's take that money and use it to build masajid or to build schools or to do this or to do that. And all of that is deception of Shaitan, because they are not going to give anything for free. They are going to take an exchange of what they give. They will definitely take from you something. So how did Ka'b ibn Malik respond, so that we can learn how to respond? Ka'b ibn Malik said, فَقُلْتُ لَمَّا قَرَأْتُهَا وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ. When I read this, I said, this is a trial from Allah. فَتَيَمَّمْتُ بِهَا التَّنُّورِ فَسَجَّرْتُهُ بِهَا. I took it and threw it in the fire. That's how we should deal with their deals. Take that deal and throw it in the fire. And don't let such things stay behind. I mean, Ka'b ibn Malik could have kept this letter as a souvenir, but he didn't. He threw it in the fire because it's something dangerous. It's something that has a temptation in it. So get rid of it. Don't let it sit behind. Just throw it in the fire. حَتَّى إِذَا مَضَتْ أَرْبَعُونَ لَيْلَةً مِنَ الْخَمْسِينَ إِذَا رَسُولُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَأْتِينِي فَقَالَ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَأْمُرُكَ أَن تَعْتَزِلَ امْرَأَتَكَ فَقُلْتُ أُطَلِّقُهَا أَمْ مَاذَا أَفْعَلُ قَالَ لَا بَلْ اعْتَزِلْهَا وَلَا تَقْرَبْهَا وَأَرْسَلَ إِلَى صَاحِبَيَّ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ فَقُلْتُ لِامْرَأَتِي الْحَقِّ بِأَهْلِكَ فَتَكُونِي عِنْدَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. Ka'b ibn Malik said, a messenger from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me and said, and this is after 40 days of the boycott, this messenger came to me and said, Rasulullah ﷺ is ordering you to leave your wife. He said, shall I divorce her? He said, no, but stay away from her, meaning he cannot touch her. And he sent the same message to my other two companions. So I told my wife, go and stay with your family. Go and stay with your parents until Allah judges in this affair. قال كعب فجاءت امرأة هلال بن أمية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن هلال بن أمية شيخ ضائع ليس له خادم فهل تكره أن أخدمه؟ قال لا ولكن لا يقربك. قالت إنه والله ما به حركة إلى شيء والله ما زال يبكي منذ كان من أمره ما كان إلى يومه هذا. كعب said, the wife of هلال بن أمية, one of the three, came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, O Messenger of Allah, Hilal ibn Umayyah is a lost old man. What does this strike you? Hilal ibn Umayyah is an old man who's lost. Does that strike you at all? What are we talking about here? We're talking about people who stayed behind from what? These are people who stayed behind from fighting, actual war, battle. And she says that my husband is an old man who's lost. So subhanAllah, here you have an old man who's lost, and nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam boycotted him and ordered the Muslims to boycott him because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered that this man does not have an excuse. So what excuse do the young, fit, able men have? If Hilal ibn Umayyah was not excused, what excuse does anybody else have? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by this woman, she said, He's a lost old man. Would you allow me to serve him? He said, no, but don't let him touch you, meaning he cannot sleep with you. She said, in the name of Allah, he has no desire for anything. Since this issue began, he's been weeping until this moment. Until this day, he's been crying. He's not thinking about speaking with his wife. And this also shows us that even though these men stayed behind, their hearts were alive. Because the munafiq, he stays behind and doesn't care about it. Doesn't even think about it. He thinks that he has done the right thing. He believes that he has done the wise thing. He thinks that he is intelligent and smart. He didn't get himself into trouble. That's how the munafiq thinks. But the believer realizes the mistake because his heart is awake. And even though he has committed the mistake, it's burning him deep inside. He's been weeping for 40 days. فَقَالَ لِي بَعْضُ أَهْلِي لَوْ اسْتَأَذَنْتَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي امْرَأَتِكَ كَمَا أَذِنَ لِمْرَأَتِ هِلَالِ بْنُ أُمَيَّةَ أَنْ تَخْدُمَهُ فقلت والله لا أستأذن فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما يدريني ما يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استأذنته فيها وأنا رجل شاب. Some of my family members were saying, why don't you ask Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم to allow your wife to stay with you just like he allowed the wife of Hilal ibn Umayyah. He said, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't know what Rasulullah would tell me when I'm a young man. فلبثت بعد ذلك عشر ليال. 10 days after that, حتى كملت لنا خمسون ليلة. Until we reached a total of 50 days from the time when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prevented everyone from speaking to us. فَلَمَّا صَلَّيْتُ صَلَاةَ الْفَجْرِ صُبْحَ خَمْسِينَ لَيْلَةً. When I prayed صَلَاةَ الْفَجْرِ, the morning of the 50th day, وَأَنَا عَلَى ظَهْرِ بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِنَا, I was on the roof of one of my houses. فَبَيْنَا أَنَا جَالِسٌ عَلَى الْحَالَ الَّتِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ قَدْ ضَاقَتْ عَلَيَّ نَفْسِي وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيَّ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. While I was sitting down in the situation that was described by Allah in Quran, that my soul became constrained and the whole earth became constrained. I mean, they were feeling that they're constrained. They were feeling the difficulty. They were feeling the sting of the situation. I heard somebody yell out to me, سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ صَارِخٍ أَوْفَى عَلَى جَبَلِ سَلَعْ بأعلى صوته يا كعب بن مالك أبشر قال فخررت ساجدا. I heard somebody call me from the mountain of Sala with the peak of his voice. Oh كعب بن مالك, rejoice. I immediately made sujood. وعرفت أن قد جاء فرج. And I knew that the problem has been solved. وأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتوبة الله علينا. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم must have been given permission from Allah Azza wa Jal that he accepts our tawbah after Salat al-Fajr. فَذَهَبَ النَّاسُ يُبَشِّرُونَنَا وَذَهَبَ قِبَلَ صَاحِبَي مُبَشِّرُونَ. So people went out to give us the good news. So some went out to my two companions while two men came to give me the glad tidings. وَرَكَضَ إِلَيَّ رَجُلٌ فَرَسًا وَسَعَى سَاعًا مِنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأَوْفَى عَلَى الْجَبَلِ. So two men tried to get the news to me. One of them climbed the mountain while the other one took a horse. But the sound was faster to reach to me than the man on horseback. فَلَمَّا جَاءَنَا الَّذِي سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَهُ يُبَشِّرُنِي نَزَعْتُ لَهُ ثَوْبَيَّ فَكَسَوْتُهُ إِيَّاهُمَا بِبُشْرَاهُ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَمْلِكُ غَيْرَهُمَا يَوْمَئِذٍ. It was the tradition when somebody gives you a good news that you give him a gift. So Ka'b ibn Malik said, the one who I heard him from the mountain, he came to me. So I gave him my two cloaks and I had nothing but them. And then I had to borrow two other pieces of garment to go and meet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَاسْتَعَرْتُ ثَوْبَيْنِ فَلَبَسْتُهُمَا وَانْطَلَقْتُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I borrowed two garments and I put them on and went to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. I rushed to him. فَيَتَلَقَّى النَّاسُ فَوْجًا فَوْجًا يُهَنُّونِي بِالتَّوْبَةِ يَقُولُونَ لِتَهْنَكَ تَوْبَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. And then people were meeting me in groups, all greeting me and congratulating me with the tawbah of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. لِتَهْنِكَ تَوْبَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. قَالَ كَعْبُ حَتَّى دَخَلْتُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ جَالِسٌ حَوْلَهُ النَّاسُ فقام إلي طلحة بن عبيد الله يهرول حتى صفحني وهنأني والله ما قام إلي رجل من المهاجرين غيره ولا أنساها لطلحة. And then he went into the masjid and then Ka'b ibn Malik says قال كعب فلما سلمت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يبرق وجهه من السرور أبشر بخير يوم مر عليك منذ ولدتك أمك. When I went to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and gave him salam, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told me, while his face was beaming with happiness, rejoice with the best day ever since your mother gave birth to you. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling Ka'b ibn Malik, today is the best day for you since the day you were born. قال قلت أمن عندك يا رسول الله, is this from you or from Allah? قال لا بل من عند الله. No, this is from Allah. I mean, this came down from Allah عز وجل. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سر استنار وجهه حتى كأنه قطعة قمر. وكنا نعرف ذلك منه. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was happy, his face would be like the moon. So subhanAllah, you can see how happy Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was because the acceptance of the tawbah of Ka'b ibn Malik رضي الله عنه and his two companions. فلما جلست بين يديه قلت يا رسول الله إن من توبتي أن أنخلع من مالي صدقة إلى الله وإلى رسول الله. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمسك عليك بعض مالك فهو خير لك. قلت فإني أمسك سهم الذي بخيبر. And then I told Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, part of my repentance would be that I give away all of my money صدقة for Allah and for the Messenger of Allah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, leave behind some of your wealth. It is better for you. So he said, I will hold on to my share of Khaybar, the battle of Khaybar. فقلت يا رسول الله إن الله إنما نجاني بالصدق وإن من توبتي ألا أحدث إلا صدقا ما بقيت. He said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah has saved me because of my honesty, because of speaking the truth. And part of my repentance is I promise that I will only speak the truth as long as I live. And when Ka'b is narrating this hadith, he said, and I have been blessed by Allah that since that time I have not spoken any word but the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed the following two ayat of Surah At-Tawbah. The second ayah is about Ka'b and his two companions. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار الذين اتبعوه في ساعة العسرة من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم إنه بهم رؤوف رحيم.
Allah has already forgiven the Prophet and the Muhajirin and the Ansar who followed him in the hour of difficulty after the hearts of a party of them had almost inclined to doubt, and then he forgave them. Indeed, he was to them kind and merciful. We talked about this ayah before, that it represents the peak of the Muslim community, and towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is accepting their tawbah. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ.
And he also forgave the three who were left behind and regretted their error to the point that the earth closed in on them in spite of its vastness, and their souls confined them, and they were certain that there is no refuge from Allah except in Him. So look at the description. And their souls confined them. It was like they were prisoners even though they were free. Allah says, then He turned to them so they could repent. Indeed, Allah is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. So Allah Azza wa Jal has accepted the tawbah of Ka'b ibn Malik and his two companions. While let's see what Allah said about the ones who gave convincing excuses and lied. Allah says about them in verse 95 and 96 of Surah At-Tawbah,
سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِن تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ
They will swear by Allah to you when you return to them that you would leave them alone. So leave them alone, indeed they are evil. And their refuge is hell as recompense for what they have been earning. They swear to you so that you might be satisfied with them. But if you should be satisfied with them, indeed Allah is not satisfied with a defiantly disobedient people. You can see the consequences of truth and the consequences of lying. We will close with some benefits mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim in his book Zad al-Ma'ad. He says, جَوَازُ إِخْبَارِ الرَّجُلِ عَنْ تَفْرِيطِهِ It is allowed for a person to speak about his shortcomings. Because we know that in Islam, you're not supposed to speak about your sins as long as Allah has given you sitr. As long as they are concealed, you should keep them concealed. However, here we see that Ka'b ibn Malik spoke about some of his shortcomings. Why? Because there is a benefit in that. Because they were known, and there's a benefit, there are lessons to be learned. So he spoke about, and he was honest about it in this narration. Second, جواز مدح الرجل نفسه. It is allowed for a person to praise himself or speak about some good things about himself. However, this is restricted, this is not open-ended, because we know that a person is not supposed to praise themselves or speak about their good. However, we see here that Ka'b ibn Malik did speak about some of the good that he has done. For example, when he mentioned that he has been in every battle of Rasulullah with the exception of Badr, and that he attended Al-Aqaba, Bay'at Al-Aqaba. But Ibn al-Qayyim says, جَوَازُ مِدْحَ الْإِنسَانِ نَفْسَهُ بِمَا فِيهِ مِنْ الْخَيْرِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْفَخْرِ وَالتَّرَفَّعِ It is allowed as long as it is not done out of pride and elevating the status of oneself. بَيْعَةُ الْعَقَبَةِ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ مَشَاهِدِ الصَّحَابَةِ That the pledge of Al-Aqaba is one of the best events, or the best events of the Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم. Because he used to see it equal to Badr. المبادرة إلى انتهاز فرصة الطاعة. This is one of the most important lessons that Ibn al-Qayyim mentions. Hasten and take advantage of opportunities of good that open up for you. Brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal at some moments of your life would open up for you doors of opportunity to do good. These doors of opportunity come and go. And sometimes if they go, they go for good. And if you don't take advantage of them, you miss them forever. Ka'b ibn Malik had an opportunity that opened up for him to participate in Tabuk, and he missed it. So one of the important lessons is, because he says, يَا لَيْتَنِ فَعَلْتَ I wish that I have done so. Do not sit behind and then say, I wish I have done so. Take advantage of the good that comes to you from Allah. And sometimes, if you reject these opportunities, the consequences could be very bad. Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 24, Surah Al-Anfal,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ
O you who have believed, respond to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. And know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to Him you will be gathered. Allah may intervene between you and in your heart and prevent you from joining the next time. Don't delay. Don't stay behind. Take advantage of the opportunities that open up for you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-An'am, verse 110,
وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ
And we will turn away their hearts and their eyes just as they refused to believe in it the first time. The first time they refused, Allah is turning away their hearts and their eyes. SubhanAllah, we need to be very careful. And Allah Azza wa Jal says,
فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ
And when they deviated, an opportunity of truth opened up and they deviated. When they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. وقال, in verse 115, Surah At-Tawbah,
وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَاهُمْ حَتَّى يُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ مَا يَتَّقُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ
And Allah would not let a people stray after He has guided them until He makes clear to them what they should avoid. So Allah makes clear to them what they should avoid. They were given the opportunity of good. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things. So they were given the opportunity of good, they turned away from it, and then Allah would lead them astray. Next lesson, لَمْ يَكُنْ يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ أَوْ مَعْذُرٌ أَوْ مَنْ خَلَّفَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ Ibn al-Qayyim says, the only ones who stayed behind are the munafiqeen, or the ones who are excused, or the ones who are appointed to stay behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it's a sign of nifaq not to participate in fighting fi sabilillah. جواز الطعن في الرجل بما يغلب على اجتهاد الطاعن حمية أو ذبا عن الله ورسوله. It's allowed to speak against a person if it is out of اجتهاد for the sake of defending Allah and His Messenger. And this is what the scholars of hadith used to do when they would speak about some of the narrators. It is because they want to protect the religion of Allah, protect the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. So the man of Banu Salama, when he spoke against Ka'b ibn Malik, that was the intention. And it is also allowed to respond back when you think that a person is good, like Mu'adh ibn Jabal did. Al-hukm bil-zahir, we judge according to what is apparent. تَرْكُ رَدِّ السَّلَامِ عَلَى مَنْ أَحْدَثَ حَدَثًا It is allowed to refuse to answer back salam for a person who has committed a hadath. If a person who has done a bid'ah or a great sin and you're refusing to answer back the salam in order to reprimand the person as a nasiha for them, then it is allowed because the Muslims and Rasulullah ﷺ were not responding back to the salam of Ka'b ibn Malik. Now this should not be carried too far. Whenever you have a disagreement with a person, you start finding out what mistakes they did and then you use that as a scapegoat to not speaking to the person and not giving salam. This is, obviously, there are some rules and regulations that govern this. Tawfiq Allah li Ka'b sahibay, Allah has guided Ka'b and his two companions and that is because of their truth. جواز الهجر للتأديب, it is allowed to boycott a person if it is done as a nasiha, as an advice for them to leave a particular sin or a particular bid'ah. التنكر والوحشة دليل على حياة القلب. When you feel pain in your heart and when you feel forsaken, that is a sign of a heart that is alive. However, a person who is a munafiq, he doesn't feel that. Ka'b ibn Malik and his companions, they felt the effect of the boycott. And they felt the difference in the way people were treating them. But with a munafiq, they don't care. It doesn't matter to them. دخول دار الصاحب من غير إذن. You can enter the house of your friend without his permission as long as you know that he does not mind that. Because Ka'b ibn Malik climbed the wall and entered the house of Abu Qatada. Obviously, this is if you're not going to end up seeing something that is haram, you know. I mean, when Ka'b entered into the house of Abu Qatada, obviously there won't be any woman without their hijab or something. So we're talking about, for example, your friend is a bachelor and you know that he wouldn't mind you entering into his house, then you could do so. كان سجود الشكر من عادة الصحابة. It was the habit of the Sahaba to make sujood of thanks when they would receive a good news. This is something that you're allowed to do when you receive good news to make sujood to Allah Azza wa Jal. إِتْلَافُ مَا يُخْشَى مِنْهُمْ مَضَرَّ فِي الدِّينِ. Destroy the things that you believe are going to harm you in your religion. And this is because Ka'b ibn Malik destroyed the letter that he received from the king of Ghassan. يَوْمُ تَوْبَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ خَيْرُ الْأَيَّامِ. The day of your repentance is your best day. سُرُورُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِتَوْبَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْمُخَلَّفِينَ. The happiness that Rasulullah ﷺ and the pleasure that Rasulullah ﷺ had when he knew that Allah has forgiven the ones who stayed behind, and this shows you the care that Rasulullah ﷺ had for the ummah. استحبابُ الصدقة عند التوبة. When you make repentance, it is good to give out صدقة في سبيل الله. So when you repent from a sin, give out صدقة. And then he finally closes with the virtues of truth and the virtues of tawbah. This is the end of the great and wonderful story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. I would suggest that you go back to al-Bukhari and read the hadith again and think about it and think about its implications. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us to the truth and to show us the truth and make us of the ones who follow it. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.